reason that I went ahead and tried to sing that song this morning. I've been meaning to learn that song for a long time now, but I kind of, after studying through my sermon for this morning, kind of fit together. So we're going to look into Matthew chapter 24 as well as Luke chapter 17 together. And we're going to do that by reading through Genesis chapter 6. Just so you're warned. Let me just read. First off, let me have a word of prayer and start off that way. And then I'll say a couple things, and then I'll read Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 and the following. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the word, and we thank you for this moment where you can use me to bring your word in front of other people. And we just ask that you open up our hearts and minds and have your spirit have his way in our hearts and minds, that your truth will stand the way it is, without change, without rejection. And I pray that each one here today and the ones online would hear this message and that they would be benefited by it, and that they would continue to grow and be blessed. Lord, we love you and we thank you for that, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. As I said a minute ago, Brother Frank preached such a great sermon. I was like, okay, well, let's just say amen and, you know, praise the Lord.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Amen. I don't know how often y'all think about when the fact that Jesus is coming back here. I mean, I think about it quite often. And when I do think about it, I think about it in a lot of different ways for a lot of different reasons. A lot of different things motivate that thought from day to day and from situation to situation. Just as Brother Frank was presenting in his message, that there are things in life that affect us and cause us to need the Lord more and more, and that we couldn't survive without his lordship in our life. The one thing that brings me great hope is we have a promise from our Lord that he is not, for one, not left us alone. Praise the Lord. We have his spirit living in us, and until he returns to gather up his bride, to gather up those who are believers, those of us who will be in eternity with him. And I don't know about y'all, but I get excited about that. I get excited about that, but at the same time, I think about, when is Jesus coming back? Let's wait a minute, because there are some people that aren't saved. There are some people that are in trouble. There are some people that don't know. There are some people who have rejected and continue to reject. There are people that will die, surely, if he returns right now. So you see why I felt the need to sing that song today. Because it's really the question of the ages. If Jesus comes back tomorrow, okay, what then? What's going to happen then? And I don't know that anybody can genuinely have a good answer for that unless they're able to say, but Jesus is my Lord. Then we're going to praise the Lord, and we're going to lift his name, and we're going to worship him. We're going to be on our faces before him in his holiness. So let's read verse 36 in Matthew chapter 24. I'll move the slides here in a minute. I just want to read through it first. Verse 36, Jesus is teaching. Of course, Jesus is always teaching. He's trying to teach about his return. He's trying to teach about the reality of the future. And he says in verse 36, well, first verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Then he says what we're going to study today, but of the day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Just stop right there. All I know is no one knows when Jesus will return. except the Father. We all understand that. And by the way, pause. I love when you amen the sermons. I love it. Because it tells me you're paying attention. It tells me that we're connecting on the same page. But your amens are not really for me. You're going to amen, you're amening for the Lord. You're agreeing with God. So I'm just going to encourage you and caution you at the same time today about this. Because of what we're about to study. Because we're going to study the difference between those who experienced salvation and those who perished. Okay? Because we're looking about, okay, about this return of Jesus. We're looking at the end result of the plan of God. We're looking at how this is might play out, knowing that we cannot know, and being content with the fact that we don't have to know when Jesus is coming back. But Jesus thought it important for us to know something about it, especially what it will be like in the days when he comes back. Notice right there in verse 37. I think this is the most important. This is my thought. This is the most important thing that Jesus said about when he's coming back. Other parts of the scripture talk about wars and rumors of wars and natural disasters and this and that and whatever. But I think this right here is the most important thing to notice about what Jesus is teaching about when he's going to come back. He says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah." And I think that the two words that get my attention in that whole statement is just like. It will be just like the days of Noah. The days when Noah was told to build an ark because God was fed up with the wickedness of man. That's why I said we're gonna study Matthew chapter 24. By way of Luke chapter 17 and Genesis chapter 6. So put your finger on that passage and go back to Genesis chapter 6 for a moment. Just for a moment. Because the people in Noah's day were wicked. They were busy all the time. They were not only wicked in their hearts, but they were busy. And I mean, too busy to care about the Lord's ways. They were all about their own business. They were all about their own kingdoms. They were all about building up their worldly possessions. In chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, it says, do I have that on there? Somewhere. There it is. Chapter 6, verse 4 to 6 says, "The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they were both, but they bore children to them." And here it says, they were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. They were well known. They were lifted up as mighty men. They were lifted up as on the higher end of society. Verse 5 says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." When I read verse 5, I was like, is this sentence going to end somewhere? Right? I mean, look, it says the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great. Could have put a period right there. The wickedness of man was great on the earth, which means everywhere. Not just part of it, everywhere. Could have put a period right there. And then it says, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. That tells me that their wickedness was not an accident. Oh, I didn't mean to be wicked. Oh, I didn't know I was being wicked. No, that was their intent. That was their motivation. That was the desire of their mind and their heart. And it was evil, and it happened all the time. It could have put a period there, but then had to put in the word continually. This is the days of Noah. And Jesus says, The Son of Man will come back. When the Son of Man comes back, it will be just like the days of Noah. Now, while we're going through all of this, I'm pretty sure that you guys won't have to be encouraged to think about the world that we live in and the things that go on in our society and around the world. The people, the communities, and you don't even have to watch the news to find it. You can just talk to your neighbor most of the time to find the wickedness that goes on, the depravity, the lack of interest in the ways of our God. These people in the days of Noah, they were not interested in chasing the knowledge of spiritual things. Had no use for it. A waste of their time. It never crossed their mind, should they be interested in it. They were so busy engaging in building up their kingdoms, their cities, their homes, competing with the Joneses, if there were any Joneses back in those days. And all of it, living in a lifestyle of wickedness that was an abomination to our Lord. Look at verse 7. No, look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I read that verse and I sat back in my chair and I was like, if God ever looked at me and came to that conclusion, I don't know what I would do. If God ever looked at me and said, I just wish I would have never created that one. That's how bad the people were. That's how wicked and given over to their sin they were. It says, verse 7, the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. This is the situation in the days of Noah. This is where it is in the days of Noah. Because of the wickedness of man, the rampant, loose living, to say it nicely. And then finally in verse 8 it says, but, great place for the word but right there, if you ask me. I mean, if you're going to praise the Lord over something, praise the Lord over that word right there. Because if it wasn't for this verse, none of us would be here. And none of us would have any opportunity to be with the Lord for eternity. It says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. All right, we got hope, right? There's hope, y'all. So in the days of Noah, because that's what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back, it's going to be like just like in the days of Noah. So far we've found that people were not only wicked and living in their wicked ways, sinful ways, they were their own kings, their own gods, and they did things with each other and to each other that were totally against what God had created us to do. And they were so offensive to God that he's ready to just blot them out. And some people might sit back and say, what's wrong with building cities and building your home and communities and this and that? Nothing wrong with that at all. As long as you're not dismissing God to do it. As long as you're not the king of all of that. As long as you're not the Lord of it all. As long as you don't believe that you're the one doing all this great stuff. Look at the world today. We've built some pretty big cities. We've built some great things. Some amazing. I watch documentaries all the time about how over the years and the generations, people have built different things that are just totally baffles my mind. Because in this day, we need a lot of technology and a lot of heavy machinery to do it. Back in those days, all they needed was a hammer, some coveralls, and a bologna sandwich, and they was hanging out building skyscrapers. And we think we're great. We think we got something going on, because look at us. We're to the point now, y'all, in this world, where we're having this big debate now. If y'all haven't kept up, we're having this big debate about this artificial intelligence stuff and how smart we are and how intelligent we are and how great we are that we can build this whole being that can think for itself and do for itself, and we don't have to do because now we've created this artificial intelligence. It's so bad, y'all. I saw a couple weeks ago on the news that this artificial intelligent being on a computer called a press conference to tell us that we don't have to be scared of artificial intelligence, that the artificial intelligence is the computer was telling us in this press conference, saying, you don't have to be scared of us. We're not going to annihilate you. We're not going to destroy you. Why would we do that? Our creation, man's creation, calls a press conference to reassure us that it will not destroy us. And we think we're intelligent. We think that our wisdom is better than God's wisdom. We're working so hard to build things, we can't even keep up with it. We're to the point now where we go out and buy a smartphone, and it's outdated by the time you get to your car. We're working so fast. We're so busy about building our kingdom and building up our wisdom and puffing up our chest and putting our nose up in the air about how great we are as a people. And just as was preached just a few moments ago, not many of them will come in here for an hour on Sunday morning to hear God's word, to acknowledge his lordship, to acknowledge that he is the creator, that he is the one who has all the wisdom and all the knowledge. Totally oblivious to what Jesus said, I will be back. And when I come back, it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. And most of the people will not even see it coming. And they won't even care that it's coming until it's too late. And the reason I said be cautious about your amens is because it's very easy for us to say, amen, those people are foolish. Well, they're foolish. But those are the people that Jesus instructed us to go and love and help them understand that it's fixing to rain. It's fixing to get serious. I said this once in the past. I don't think Jesus ever said fixing to, but that's the way I say it. What if Jesus came back today? Are y'all ready? I hope you're ready. I hope I'm ready. What's he going to find me doing? What's he going to find you doing? What's going to happen when the trumpets blast and the fire comes down? Because it ain't going to be water this time. Nobody's going to stand before God and say, I didn't know. Nobody's going to stand before our holy Savior and say, oh, I was just kidding. Changed my mind. The thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. Continually evil. And the more and more our society in this day continues to see the sinful behavior of the world be promoted and advertised, the more I see the days of Noah happening. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say I think Jesus is coming back right now. I'm not going to stand up here and say I know when Jesus is coming back. All I'm telling you is I see that Jesus said it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. And when I look around, I see some things that are similar. And how dare we who have salvation in our hearts, live in the grace of God, the blessing of his forgiveness, the Spirit of God in us, how dare we do nothing about those who are ignorant, those who have rejected, those who are living in their own kingdoms. How dare we live in this world and do nothing, knowing that the days are like Noah, and that Jesus is coming back, and it could very well be today. Look at verse 11 in chapter 6 of Genesis. It says, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence." God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh and corrupt, all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. That puts the blame on the people. Corrupted. All flesh had corrupted their way. They did it. Verse 13 says, "Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth.'" It's fixing to get real, isn't it? This is one of those messages you've already figured out, that you're either gonna one of three things. You're either gonna have great hope and peace in your heart and your mind about things, or you're gonna be mad and reject it all, or you're gonna fall on your face in the fear of the Lord because you're guilty. Those are the only three options right there. I pray it's either praising the Lord because you're saved, or falling on your face because you need to repent and get saved. That's what I pray. That's my desire. I think that's what the Lord's desire is. I want to go to Luke chapter 26 kind of quickly. I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing. It's Luke's account of the same teaching. In verse 26, it says, "And just as it happened in the days of Noah, it will be also in the days of the Son of Man." Same statement. So we can see that Matthew and Luke agree that Jesus taught this. Look at verse 28 then. Well, verse 27. "They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." In other words, they were busy living their lives. They were busy building their own kingdoms. They were busy lifting themselves up over it all. Verse 28 says it was the same, just chapter 17 of Luke, it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. This is Jesus teaching, and he says it was the same, verse 28, as it happened in the days of Lot. He's saying that when I come back, it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah, and it'll be the same as when Sodom was destroyed. And if you remember that account, Sodom was destroyed because not only were they busy living their lives and just ignoring God and his ways, but they were deep, deep into the perversions and the sexual sins of life that this world has to offer, and refused over and over again to repent and even acknowledge that it offended God. And when I look around at the world that we live in today, it's hard to see anything different. Now be careful. Be careful. Because if we're not careful, we'll fall into the trap of saying, yeah, those wicked people are going to hell. Those ones who are living in these sinful ways are going to hell. And if you're not careful, you'll forget that there was a day in your life that you were one of those, and that Jesus pulled you from that darkness that offended God, to the point where God doesn't have to look at you and say, "I wish I would have never created that one." Don't you want to praise the Lord right there? I can't even understand that. I can't even get my mind wrapped around that. What an abomination I was as a sinner. And Jesus still offered forgiveness. I was just like those people in the days of Noah. You were just like those people. We were just like those that were living in Sodom. Jesus is trying to get us to understand there's going to be sexual sin in the world. There's going to be social plagues that happen throughout the world. There's going to be rampant sin throughout the fabric of our society. And no one will care. I heard a preacher one time use this illustration. I don't know if I'm going to say it exactly the same, but he said, one preacher asked another man, he said, "You know what the two biggest problems in the world are?" And the man answered him and says, "I don't know and I don't care." And the preacher looks at him and says, "Yeah, you're right. Those are the two biggest problems in the world." And the preacher was referring to the church. Because the church, if we're not careful, we can get into this habit of disassociating ourselves from people because they were like the sinners in the days of Noah. Because we have our ticket to get on the boat with Noah. We have our ticket to get to be with the Lord. I'm not saying we're doing that. I'm saying, in general, the church can fall into that trap where we hang out with people who are just like us. We look for people who are like-minded or do the same thing. Sometimes we look for people who sin like us because our sin is not as bad as some of the other people's in the world, right? You know, I was making a joke right there. It's not what I believe. Here's what else I noticed in the days of Noah. Try to make this brief if it's not already too late. Man, I can't keep up with this thing. Look at 17, verse 17 of Genesis really quickly. I'll read it to you when I get there. I like to read it out of my Bible. Verse 17 first. Behold, I, am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life. For under heaven, everything that is on earth shall perish. There was a sudden panic, right, when it started raining. Because it took over 100 years for Noah to build his boat, right? I mean, everybody in town, everybody in the world was like, "What's Noah doing?" "Oh, yeah, he's been doing that for a while." After a while, they just stopped noticing that he was doing it. "That's that boat. He's been working on that boat. He ain't going to do that. He's just building stuff. Who knows? I ain't got time to mess with Noah. He's over here building it. He could be over here helping us build our..." No, he just... That's the way it was. And then it started to rain, and you look in the next chapter, 7. If you look over in chapter 7, of Genesis, it talks about how all the creatures got on the boat, Noah and his family got on a boat, and it says God shut the door. I remember when we were children, me and my brothers and my sister, my oldest sister before the other ones came along, I remember when we would be told to go to bed. Of course, we're like the rest of every other kid. We'd be in there talking and giggling and doing whatever all night. And sometimes we'd get up and walk down the hall or go find something to kid. We'd be out there where we weren't supposed to be. And Dad would come down the hall and put us back in bed with his dad look. You know how it is. And then he would shut the door. And if we were found outside that door after he shut the door, that was going to be a major issue in our lives. When the authority shuts the door, you don't open it. When God shuts the door, you can't open it. When God says it's over, it's a done deal, y'all. And God shut the door on that boat. And all the people that were living their lives in their wisdom and and knowledge and their wicked ways and enjoying the earth that they believed was theirs, began to panic, screaming and hollering for their lives. And it was too late. It was too late. And it's not because, look, it's not because they weren't warned. It's not because they weren't warned, y'all. See, Noah was picked by God, verse 9 of Genesis chapter 6. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. It says Noah walked with God. That's why Noah gets picked. 2 Peter chapter 2 agrees with that. And God, in his assigning Noah this project, build this boat because I'm about to destroy everything. You think Noah didn't tell people that? You think he didn't preach that message the whole time he was building that boat to everybody that would listen? What are you doing, Noah? I'm building a boat. Why are you building a boat? Because God's about to destroy everybody. They were told. They were warned. It's not like they didn't see it coming. And when Jesus comes back, it's going to be just like the days of Noah. When Jesus comes back, he's going to show up, and no one will say, no one told me. Because the church, being the church, we're out making disciples, we're out preaching the gospel, we're out loving people and loving God. No matter how consumed society can get with themselves and all of their wisdom and their sin, they cannot ignore the fact that the Christians love Jesus and Jesus loves them. And Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to do what Jesus called us to do. Because it will be exactly like the days of Noah. It'll be just like the day when Sodom was completely destroyed because of their unwillingness to repent. Let me give you some facts and then we're going to stop. Because I don't know how much more to say about it, because it speaks for itself. Fact number one, Jesus is Lord and Savior. That's a fact. Whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you want to make up some other fact or not about Jesus, the fact is, Jesus is Lord and Savior. Fact number two, his death, burial, and resurrection is real, and it has conquered sin and death. That's a fact number two. So far, so good, right? Fact number three, he will come back, and the world will end as we know it. That's a fact. It's what's going to happen. Take it to the bank all day long. Are y'all ready? And fact number four, just like in the days of Noah, is when he'll be back. Keep that in mind as we live our lives every day for the Lord and his glory. As we get up every morning and we say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make disciples today for your glory, but I'm going to follow you and I'm going to be all about your business. Because today might be the day that your son comes back. I think when Jesus comes back, I'd rather him find all of us loving somebody so that they would know him than for us to be clicking channels at the house, expecting God to make it happen. Here it is. When Jesus does come back, it'll be either a day of destruction or it'll be a day of salvation for all of us. It's going to be both, but for you, it's going to be one or the other. For me, it's going to be one or the other. If you're saved by the blood of Christ, if you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repented of your sins, you've been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, received a gift of the Holy Spirit, then it'll be a day of salvation, just as it was for Noah and his family. But if you reject that truth, if you don't want that to be true, if you want your kingdom, you want your ways, you want to somehow justify your sinful behavior and just eliminate God in your life, then it'll be a day of destruction for you. And it's not because God doesn't love you. It's because you've chosen not to love God. I'm only going to close that one time. That was a good opportunity to say amen right there. I love you and the Lord loves you. You know it. I hope you know it. Jesus is coming back, y'all. I don't know what your plans are for today, but I hope whatever they are, they glorify God and bring you joy and peace in your life and maybe be a blessing to somebody else. But just know that whatever your plans are today might not be the Lord's plans. Jesus might show up, and then nothing else matters. Do you know him? Let's stand together and sing glory to his name together. If you don't know Jesus, you want to be saved, come down here and talk to me. We'll baptize you right now, or we'll go talk about it. What? Oh, sorry. There is a fountain. I'm one song ahead. There is a fountain. We're going to sing that, and if anybody needs to be saved, come today. If not, let's live like Jesus will be back soon. Let's go.